Ephesians chapter 1. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the most unpopular message in the Bible, the message of hell. This morning, we're going to look at a victorious message of forgiveness. Say, why is forgiveness so victorious? Because it frees us. It frees us. The forgiveness of sin. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read verse 7, and then we'll pray. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. This is referencing Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. And God, I am thankful that You have forgiven our sins. God, that my slate has been wiped clean, that I will not one day have to pay for the penalty of my own personal actions. God, thank You for that. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for giving us the opportunity to live the victorious Christian life. Lord, I pray that we not lose sight of that, that we would never forget what it is that You've done for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, I beg of You right now that You'd come down into this place, that You'd use Your word, that You would use this feeble preacher, and Lord, in delivering the message that we need to hear here today. Lord, I beg of You, please, God, work in our midst. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have this wonderful verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The purchase. We sang victory in Jesus. And there He purchased us. I don't know why He did. I had nothing to offer. But it wasn't a purchase out of material gain, but out of great love. Great love. And the Lord loved us. In whom we have redemption through His blood. And through that love, what has He been able to do? The very thing that causes separation between us and the Lord, He has willfully and freely given. Ever get involved in something and you didn't know all the details of it until you got into it and said, well, this is much more than I ever expected. Sure. We all sign up for projects like that. Yesterday we were at the house I saw a piece of wooden furniture out in the middle of the room. And Sarah asked me this question. She said, could you make a couple cuts on this? I said, sure, no problem. Not knowing what I was getting into. We were getting into a large painting and project. Gladly, willfully do it. I wonder if the Lord got into the redemption of mankind and go, oh, no, He knew exactly what He was getting into. He knew what it would take to forgive us of our sins, and He willfully went through that. I want to look at some passages here this morning. We have 3 points. The first is the forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to be forgiven? It means to pardon, to remit as an offense or debt. Look at this now. To overlook an offense. And this is my favorite part of forgiveness. And to treat the offender as not guilty. God in His perfect way has forgiven us. And does He not yet treat us as though we are not guilty? If you've committed a crime, a heinous crime, you will forever be labeled in society as an offender. In protection to those that are around you. If you apply for a job, you have to say that you've been convicted of a felony. But with God, He treats the offender as not guilty. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to know that when God looks down on you, although we are sinners, He doesn't see us like that anymore. Mark chapter 2. Let's look at some of these passages. Almost in reading them, trying to expound on them, I feel like I would do a disservice. But we'll take a look at some of these passages. We'll quickly go through them. Each could be its own message. But I want you to think about this. The forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. To be saved from the penalty of our sin. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. We are very familiar with this story. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. What did they do? They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let him down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Here this man that has been unable to walk, unable to move his arms, his legs, is being lowered down into the house. Why? Because he had four friends that were committed to getting him to Christ. And what does he do? He doesn't even touch what we would perceive as the biggest problem. He said, because of your faith, thy sins be forgiven. Hey, you know what? We came to the Lord and we didn't know what a mess we were in. And we just brought our circumstance to God and laid it out before Him. And we thought our problems were this. And then God showed us what our real problem was. And He forgave us of our sin. Praise the Lord for that. And when there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, maybe asking yourself the same question. How could Jesus forgive sins? I'm telling you, as I was studying this and I was thinking about these things, I had to take a break. Because what I read violated my doctrine. And I was like, this is not good. How could Jesus forgive sins if he had not died on the cross yet? Well, that poses a problem. There has been no redemptive blood. Ephesians chapter 1 has not been. And I find myself in verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. I read this and I thought, how does this work? Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And here we see this beautiful picture or connection between Jesus Christ and God Himself. And the divinity of Jesus is seen through this passage. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of God, look at so important verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Hey, Jesus Christ is able to forgive sins. Why? Because he acts in the power of God. He's been given great authority and great power. So when they brought him, he was able to forgive sins. Why? Very similar to the thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23. Look at Luke 23. You know, we look at that palsied man and we have compassion. Why? What'd he do? Nothing. Did he get his leg caught in a wood chipper or something like that? We don't know. We don't know why. Was he hit by a chariot? I don't know. Doesn't say why he was a palsy. And our heart breaks for that. You know, we see these things on TV or something like that. You know, a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old and they have no hair. Why? Because they're dealing with leukemia. And you go, what on earth did that person ever do? God, what? How is there justice in this? And we look at that and our heart just breaks for the compassionate stories of that. And we would go to great lengths to make sacrifices in our life to help those. But what about the offenders? What about the ones, and we look at that and go, surely God will forgive their sins. Look at, they've just had a rough life. But what about the evil, wicked ones that we would deem in our mind? Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. And there were two other malefactors. Here Christ is on the cross and he's not alone. There's two other people on either side led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. If you have a King James Bible, that's the only place it shows up in your Bible. You know that. Without the King James Bible, there is no Calvary. It doesn't show up in any other version. That was extra. That was just bonus. That wasn't even in my notes. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So there's three of them being crucified. Two of which belong there. And we say, yes, justice. Some few weeks ago, there was a police officer. He walks into a dark room. He gets a call from this young man's grandmother and said, come quick, something's very bad. And this young man walks in, or this police officer walks in, been on the service for a good number of years, walked in, having a normal conversation. All of a sudden, the young man pulls out a knife and cuts the police officer right here in Rochester Police Department. Multiple stab wounds. The police officer has such understanding of what is going on, he takes his gun out, drops the clip out, just leaving one bullet in there. Why? Because he doesn't want to get shot. And we look at that young man and we say, that man deserves a trial. And we want to see the book thrown at him. That's who was hanging on the cross next to Christ. It wasn't the 5-year-old little with leukemia, and it wasn't the palsy man who had been this all his life, and our heart breaks and say, yes, God, please forgive them of their sins. Help them walk again. We have offenders dying on the cross next to Christ. And what does he say? Then said Jesus in verse 34, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, and saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. You understand that he couldn't save others and himself. For if could he have saved himself? Most certainly. But in saving himself, could he save us? He could not. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Now we have this interaction between Christ and those that were being hung next to him. And on the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Hey, if you're really God, get us down from here. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man that's hanging on the cross next to Christ says, I belong here. Let us not forget who we are. We deserve the condemnation of God. We would like to think of ourselves as the palsied man being brought to God, and our life has just been, we have been a victim of, but may I say, most of us, I will even say all of us, are those that deserve to be hanging on the cross next to Christ. We're not as pure and as clean as we would like everyone to see. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And look at what Jesus says to him. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. He says, save me a spot, I'll be right there. The greatest of offenders receive the forgiveness of Christ, because he is able to forgive sin. And he doesn't look at you and I like you and I look at you and I. Put this verse on the front of your bulletin in Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. To forgive, to treat the offender as not guilty, and will not remember thy sins. How could the God that knows everything forget anything? He forgets my sins. Because in the true definition of forgiveness, He treats me. I wonder when this man hanging on the cross next to Christ shows up in Abraham's bosom that day. And there he walks up and he meets up with David. David says, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Bob. How'd you get down here?" "Well, about 2 minutes ago, he says, he tells David, "Hey, you're going to want to see this. Wait about 2 minutes. There's a guy coming here. He promised me that he'll see me in paradise." What merit did that malefactor have? None. What merit do I have? When I get to heaven and I walk amongst these, I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. He just forgave my sins. In Luke chapter 7, just a few chapters back, isn't God good to forgive us of our sins? Luke chapter 7 and verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. I love this. Look at verse 42. Luke chapter 7 and verse 42. "And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both." Who could pay their sin debt? Well, I could. It would just take all eternity. Whether you owe 500 or 50 pence, it doesn't matter. If you offend in one place, you're guilty of all. They asked, "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." Hey, Peter said something right. Isn't that good? Isn't that a blessing? Every now and then we get it right. Lord asks us a question, we respond. Respond from the heart. I want you to take away from this passage. I don't want you to get off on this. And I want you to compare yourself and say, I was deeper in sin, therefore I love God more. Hey, we were all a mess. We were all a mess. I was talking to Sean yesterday at the hospital, and he's trying to be a bold witness. And they're like, and he's talking to some people, and he's inviting them to church, and they're like, "You're a mess." And he said, "Yeah, my life's a complete train wreck," he says. He goes, "But so are all the people at church." He's like, "You gotta come see." Hey, frankly, he just forgave us all. Whether you were 4 or 40 or something above that, to which I have been forgiven of much. Therefore, I owe him so much. Verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I've been forgiven of a lot. God forgave me of my sin. Hey, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, today would be the perfect day. "Call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians chapter 4, our second point this morning. Say, Pastor, have you seen the clock? I understand. And I know what time the pizza's getting here. We are plenty. We are good. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hey, these things ought not to be in a Christian's life. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. May we return back to the definition to forgive, to pardon, to remit as an offense or debt, to overlook an offense and treat the offender as not guilty. Man, that's hard, isn't it? It is hard to do that. It tells us to forgive one another. And then it gives us this little hitch verse. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then in my mind it goes back to me and my sins being forgiven. And it's not unreasonable to ask of me to be forgiving. Because I've been shown so much forgiveness. I've been shown so much mercy. The ironic aspect of forgiveness of others is for the offended. So when done wrong, it is on me to forgive the one that did me wrong. And it's not even for them, it's for me. Anybody ever try and carry around the weight of unforgiveness? Oh, that's heavy. And it affects every area of your life. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you see that point number 2 is kind of contingent on point number 1? The deeper we understand the forgiveness of my sin, it greater helps me be forgiving to others. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. It says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. And I'm here to tell you that forgiving people are more easily forgiven. Say, what does that mean? Forgive others because chances are really good that you're going to be on the other side of that someday. And don't you want someone to forgive you easily? Anybody like contention amongst each other? I don't. Say, does it really bother God? How serious does God take quarrels or problems amongst fellow believers? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. He takes it very seriously, actually. One of the easiest ways to deal with any sort of problem in our life is to just pretend it's not there. And continue on as normal. And that is one of our most readily responses to when we're not right with somebody. I'm just going to pretend everything is okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Seems pretty serious. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, just business as normal. Here comes the offering plate. Let's just make look like everything's okay. Here I am where I ought to be, in the temple, in the church house, shirt and tie on, dress here, Bible and lamp, offering plate goes by, and here I am giving my gift. and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He says you need to make things right. God says, we don't want what you have to offer when you know that there's problems in your life. Gifts are hindered. Your own personal walk with God is hindered. I have been wronged many a times. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Where's the frequency of forgiveness? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter thought he was doing good with seven. Do I forgive him seven times? That's your perfect number, right? God says, how about 70 times seven? That's 490 times. That's a lot of times. If you do anything 490 times consecutively, you're going to lose count. And I think that's the whole point of it. You just keep doing it. Yeah, but I was hurt. 70 times 7. That's God's way. That's God's plan. Now, you can say, I've been hurt so many times, I'm not going to forgive anymore. You're picking up a very heavy bag. Because as we continue the passage, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king that would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And look at what he says. And forgave him of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Can God not ask us the same question? I refuse to forgive. And God knocks at our heart. May I remind you of where I found you? May I remind you what you owed me? And we are smitten because we have no response. Smitten by the grace and mercy of God. And we can't get to heaven and say, it was just too hard. Forgiveness of others. Why would we forgive anybody else? Because we have been forgiven of much. Forgiveness of others is because of the forgiveness of sin. But we have a third point here this morning. Say, what else could there be? We've been forgiven of our sin. We're forgiving other people. All is good. The forgiveness of saints. See, after salvation, not sure if you're aware, but sometimes sin does have a way of creeping back into our life. It doesn't damn us to hell, but it certainly messes up our relationship with the Lord. And the Bible tells us, if we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, a familiar verse, right? If my people which are called by my name, I like that, if my people, telling me that there is a relationship between us and God. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's his people. That's not lost anymore. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hey, is your life a mess? Say, is this prosperity gospel? I'm not saying that. Is your relationship with God a mess? When was the last time you asked him to forgive you of your sin? Say, I'm saved. Yeah, I know. But the forgiveness of saints is quite necessary. And Matthew chapter 6, it's part of our prayer life. Remember the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray. He says, here, let me give you some ideas. Let me establish an outline for you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And who asked this question? The disciples. And part of our prayer life ought to be, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The maintaining of a relationship with God. God invites us, James chapter 4, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. He invites us unto himself. That even as believers, we would seek forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Say, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. I don't think I need the forgiveness of the... 1 John chapter 1. In verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hey, Christian. When was the last time you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins? When was the last time you got clean and right before him? Yes, saved on your way to heaven. Even made right with others. How about yourself? How about what's going on in your life today? Well, it doesn't really bother, it certainly bothers God. The beautiful part about Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And in real life relationships, sometimes they go up and down. Hey, you wore the same outfit that I did. You know you look better in that than I do. Why'd you do that? And now we're no longer friends and you're not coming to my birthday party. Say, that's silly. Oh, some of the things that we have separated fellowship over is silly. Maybe there's something with somebody even in this room or something in your heart. You've picked up a heavy bag of unforgiveness. But what about in your own life? You know, sometimes we rub elbows with the world and we fail to recognize how much has gotten on us. And our relationship with the Lord is hindered. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And he's able to cleanse us. To restore that relationship. And he's not like you and I. He actually treats us as if we are not guilty. Let's all stand. The value, the great victory in being forgiven. Oh, my word, to be forgiven of our sin. Praise the Lord for that. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Can everyone bow your heads just for a moment? No one looking around. You know, many a times we are... Maybe the Lord spoke to you in the first point. And sometimes we convince ourselves that we are better than we were. How many of you this morning said, I saw myself as the malefactor today. And I had forgotten that. Anybody like that here this morning? Sure, hands all over. Thank you. In a moment, maybe you want to come and thank the Lord for saving you because you remembered what you were. Say, Pastor, can you pray for me? I'm holding some bitterness, unforgiveness towards somebody else, and I know I am, and I know I need to fix that. Will you just pray for me? Anybody like that here today? All right. Appreciate your honesty. Thirdly, Christian, is there something in your life that doesn't belong? Is there sin in your heart and in your life that needs to go? Yeah, you're saved. You're on the way to heaven, but you've picked some stuff up. Pastor, just pray for me. I know I have sin in my heart. I need to ask the Lord to forgive me. Anybody like that here? Again, I appreciate your honesty. In a moment, we're going to pray and whatever it is that the Lord spoke to your heart about, why don't you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the incredible gift of forgiveness. Lord, it's so freeing. Lord, I pray that you would use this message and work your perfect work, that there'd be no divisions between us and thee, us and others. Lord, whatever it is that you spoke to someone about, Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful. Faithful in talking with you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?